I mean, it doesn't sound too good, and that can help. And this has nothing to do with creation. Does anybody here have someone in your life that when you think of their name, your blood pressure starts rising? Okay, I'm going to give you free advice on this. I want you to have the P word, which is what?
Peace.
There was a lady in my life, I'll just say Anita. I'd be having a nice day, things are going good, and all of a sudden I'd start thinking of Anita and what she did and the ramifications of what she did, and then I would be really, really upset. This is what I pray to do. Anybody want to volunteer a name? You don't have to. But
Steve.
Okay, I'm going to talk about you. You're having a nice day, things are going great. All of a sudden you think about Steve. The second you think of Steve, you say, Lord, I forgive Steve. Steve wronged me. Steve did me wrong. But Lord, I forgive Steve. 4 hours later, you're having a nice day, you think of Steve. What do you do? Instantly forgive that person. You do not become their punching bag, their sucker, their puppet. But the second you think of that person, you forgive them. And what's the ramification, sir, if you do that? Peace. They have no power over you. And it might take a few times, but after a while, no stress. Because when you hate someone, you're committing murder against yourself. You're only hurting yourself when you get enraged about Steve. Do that, and you'll have peace. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's really, really, well, it's from trial and error. Instead of ruining your day, it's got no power. Anybody have a big sin problem? Okay. Sin always begins with a thought. Let's just say it's lust. Okay? How many people, well, you don't have to raise your hand. Let's just say it's lust. Suppose the second you start thinking of that, you do this. Who has someone they would like to be saved? I need a first name. Anybody?
Josh.
Shirley. Let's just say you struggle with a certain sin. As soon as you instantly think of that sin, you say, Dear Lord, I pray for the salvation of Shirley. Please, Lord, give Shirley people wisdom to talk to her. Please, Lord, have the Holy Spirit convict Shirley. The second you start thinking of that little sin, because that's going to grow, and then you'll act on it, you pray for the salvation of Shirley, and you might pray 100 times. But really try to do that. I learned that from someone else, and it really helps because everything starts with a little thought in your head, and then it grows. Okay? So, how do you deal with loss? Someone dies, you what?
Gratitude.
Thank you for the years. Thank you for the time that we had, right? Someone drives you nuts named Joe?
Forgive
Joe, right? Right. You're not their sucker anymore or punching bag, but forgive them. Just dealing with the sin, as soon as you start thinking of that sin?
Pray for someone's
salvation. By name, okay? So, things I've learned. It's kind of fun to get old. You learn things, right? Okay. Yes. And every morning, I didn't say this, a quick review. You wake up in the morning, instead of being stressed out, what's the first thing you do? Thankful for 10 things. Second thing, you think of the problem that's stressing you out. What do you do? Pray for God's will with that problem. Number three, cry out for peace. Please, please, please give me peace. And then make your requests known according to God's will. Okay, need a volunteer for what we did this morning? Anybody? Okay. Why do you believe in God?
Design.
What do you mean by design? Pick something specific.
Oh, okay.
It could be the carpet, it could be your shoes.
Okay, so that lectern you're standing.
Okay.
It was designed and built, and you know, there's no way that they can go back in time and say that the nails and the wood was cut a certain way and all of this, and it just...
Good. And then compare it to something, an animal or part of the human body. What could you compare it to? Like you say, check out your hand.
Oh, right.
This lectern's a design. Go ahead.
Well, my hand is a brilliant design, and you know, there's
And if it's a design, there has to be a designer, right. And then that's the next question of who that designer is. Good. Can another volunteer? How about you, young man? Oops. Why do you, what about evolution? I didn't put it in there. Anyone? You want it? What about evolution? Apes make? Birds? Lizards? Oh, that's religious. That's genetics. Right. We own science. They're trying to steal it from us and shame you guys into thinking you're dumb. You're not. Genetics, biochemistry, DNA, apes make apes, people make people, lizards make lizards, whales make, snails make. You can go on forever. Zero evidence. Well, here's a fun question to ask an evolutionist. Who wants to role play an evolutionist? Anybody? Okay. We're role playing. Do you believe in the theory of evolution?
Absolutely.
And I love to do this when I get heckled. I pray for hecklers. So let's pretend you're heckling me. So do you believe in the theory of evolution?
Of course.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a question. And I always talk slow. Do you believe in the theory of evolution, and you're role playing, because you've seen evidence for it with your eyes, or do you believe the theory of evolution because people have told you it's true, so you believe it with your ears? Which one is it?
It's both.
Okay, so you have seen evidence for the theory of evolution.
Yes.
What do I ask her next?
What is that?
What is it? What have you seen?
Those amazing cartoons.
Exactly. Do you see the problem the evolutionist is in? If they say they've seen evidence for it, you politely, what is it? I'd be happy to hear it. I'll believe it if it's what, the T word?
True.
If they say they've only heard evidence for it, you get excited and say, I got to encourage you. I'm glad you admit you've never seen it. You're an honest person. You've never seen it. You never will see it. I encourage you to keep looking. Talk to experts for visual evidence. There's no half man, half ape, half bird, half lizard. A lot of birds, a lot of lizards, a lot of people, a lot of apes. Nothing in between. If you keep looking, you'll never see it. And you know why? They don't exist. But trust your eyes. Your ears can be anything you want. Your eyes, you will never be it. And if they throw out some fossil you never heard of, write it down and look it up. But you won't hear too many good answers for that. I don't want to talk to you. You're a religious fanatic. I wouldn't want to talk to me either if I were you. You say lovingly. Okay. I want to share with you the all-time best design I've ever seen in nature. I've seen a lot. Nothing compares to this. If you come here tonight, and I'm glad you're here, and do not believe that there is a designer, I can't share anything better than this next example. This just blows me away, and I'll teach it to you nice and slow. First, who would like to answer this question? I need a volunteer. And there's no bad answer. Anyone? You. Thank you, sir. You're in the second row. You're the only person in the first two rows. There's no bad guess. Within 1,000, how many gallons of the mother's blood flows through the baby during a pregnancy? And you can ask the audience.
10,000.
How many?
27,000.
Haven't heard that?
I think it's
zero. Zero. Okay, let me repeat. Not one drop of the mother's blood goes into the baby. And this is a good pro-life argument, if you want a good pro-life argument. The mother's blood goes into the placenta. The baby's blood goes where? Into the placenta. Now, the membranes are thick enough to keep the blood vessels out, but not thick enough for the mother to pass nutrients and the baby to pass waste. There's a lot of symbolism there, but we won't get into that. Okay? Mother gives nutrients, baby gives waste, but the blood can't pass. It's an amazing thing. So none of the blood from the mom goes into the baby, but that's not the coolest thing. So you've got a placenta. You've got a uterus. You've got blood vessels from the mom going into the placenta. There's 20 sets of blood vessels. Okay? After the baby is born, what happens a little bit later? The placenta comes out. Wait a minute. You just severed 20 sets of blood vessels from the mom. She should what? She should bleed to death. 20 blood vessels being severed is a big deal. Mothers don't bleed to death. You know why? Not the umbilical cord. These little blood vessels, pardon me? They have something special. That's right. The blood vessels are surrounded by a circular muscle, a sphincter muscle. So these are the blood vessels. There's a circular muscle. After the baby is born, guess what? They close. Like on a hoodie, you close it up. The circular muscle closes up. And I like to share this on the street. What if those muscles closed 1 hour before the baby was born? Smartest person here, right there in row 8. The baby would die if they closed an hour too soon. What if they closed an hour after the placenta came out? The mother would die. You get this? The sphincter muscles close after the baby is born. Those muscles close, the sphincter comes out. Does that sound like a wow to you? Have a round of applause for the placenta. None of you would be here if that didn't happen. House of cards. There's millions of houses of cards to keep you alive. So I pray that people love Christ, love science, just glorify God with it. Mm-hmm. How in the world could that evolve? Of course it didn't. You got to be really, really mad at God if you know that kind of stuff and still don't believe. Okay? So, Mary did that. And that, there's a little picture of it. Again, it's not even nearly as complex. There's the baby. And the blood vessels going into the placenta. Those all get severed. Okay? And we did that. All right. I have a bunch of different lessons. I'm happy to be here. And they requested we talk about the days of creation and Genesis and things like that. Because there's a lot of shaming going on. It's like a lot of people are like, I believe in God, but I think God used evolution. Please don't call me a dummy. Have you seen this? Real quick on God using evolution. Impossible. If I get hit by lightning, I hope some of you guys go, you're limiting God. God could not have created through evolution. I need someone to role play with me for fun. Thank you. Let's suppose you tell me, do you think God used evolution to create? Just role play.
Sure, probably.
Okay. Did he create lungs or hearts first? Okay, well, they're no good without a lung to oxygenate. Did he create kidneys or livers first? Well, they're dead without the liver to filter the blood. Did he create eyes or optic nerves first? Well, you're still blind without the eye. Okay. God could not have created hearts on a Monday, lungs on a Tuesday, livers on a Wednesday, kidneys on a Thursday, brains on a Friday. Right? You're a big lump of carbon. The only possible way for God to create humans is how? Just like he teaches us, instantly, within nanoseconds, everything works together. So think, I got goosebumps. If God could not have created through evolution, what could not have created through evolution? Nature. Nature's got an IQ of 0. God's got an IQ of 1 followed by 100 trillion zillion zeros. And he had to create humans instantly. You're not a car you're repairing on your front lawn, slowly putting it together. You're a living being. So no way God could have created through evolution. Nature sure can't make a lung and a heart. Okay. So we'll get back to the 6 days. My life story, part 2. I already shared some of it. I became a Christian at the age of 29. And one of the things I realized is like, wow, not that there was a big pool before, but the number of ladies that I would like to go out with is really narrowed. Anybody relate to that? I would only want to date a Christian lady. And so I'm going to this Bible study, and this girl goes, Bill, I heard you love creation. I go, oh, yeah, I love creation. And she goes, would you teach my junior high class? And my heart stopped. Nothing terrified me more than public speaking. Can anybody relate to that? They did a survey that said people are more scared of public speaking than dying. So if you go to a funeral, feel bad for the eulogy guy, not the dead guy. Okay? But anyways. So I'm terrified. I made a pamphlet like that, and I was shaking, and I read through it. I made it. And I said, hey, I can do this again. So I started calling churches out of the phone book. Do you want a free lesson on creation? The first group to invite me was a tiny little card table of six people. God knew I had more zeal than knowledge, so I always had tiny groups at the beginning. And I'm sitting at the card table, and this lady says, Mr. Morgan, our invited guest expert. She didn't say that, but she goes, Mr. Morgan, what do you think of the day-age movement? How many people have heard that term before? Day-age movement. So I said, what's that? She says, oh, that's the belief that the days in Genesis are millions. You got to wave your hands. Millions or billions of years old. And I said, no Christian would ever believe that. That's not in the Bible. And I went home and researched it, and I was shocked. I had only read the Bible and trusted it, but many people who do love the Lord believe that. But I was shocked because I was only going based on biblical teaching. So you move on and you learn, and that's part of my life story. Now, who realizes there's a controversy? Any of you? Many brilliant Christian apologists laugh at young earth creation. I love William Lane Craig. He makes fun of young earth creation. You guys heard of William Lane Craig? Excellent arguer, great defender of the Bible, but is ashamed to admit he believes in literal days. And there's many more like him, okay? If he wants to debate, I'd be happy to debate. So I would like to demonstrate something by having the Borrego Springs Calvary Chapel Performing Arts team come on up, please. Grandson,
hi, Grandpa.
How are you?
Good. I got good news. I just became a Christian.
Oh, praise the Lord, grandson. I've been praying for that. That is wonderful, wonderful news.
Do you know how I could learn more about God?
Well, if you want to learn more about God, read the Bible. Here, I have an extra one. Read the Bible, grandson.
Thank you. Where should I start?
Start on page one. And I tell you what, read Genesis chapter 1, come back tomorrow, tell me what you learned, and ask me any questions you want, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Grandpa.
The next day.
Hey, Grandpa.
Hey, weren't you wearing that shirt yesterday?
I read Genesis chapter 1, and are those days it talks about, are those 24-hour days?
That's a good question. Young man, you got to know the Hebrew. If you really could understand Hebrew, you would see that those days, they don't mean literal 24-hour days. They mean millions or billions of years.
Okay. What about the evening and morning? Is that 24 hours?
That's a good question. Yes, the Bible does say those days had evenings and mornings. But once again, if you study Hebrew, you'll understand it doesn't really mean evening and morning. It really means ending and beginning.
Oh.
Do you want to read Genesis chapter 2 tomorrow and tell me what you learned?
No, I'd rather play soccer.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Have a good day, son.
Right.
Big round of applause, please. Now, what's going through his mind? You're stupid. You can't understand the Bible unless you're an educated elite. Now, I'm not saying all, but for many years, the Catholic people, only the priest can interpret this for you. No. Mr. Rogers, no. You can learn the Bible. When I was an atheist, I worked construction with this man. Loved him. His name was Columbus McCoy. Nearly illiterate, but he knew that Bible. And I said to myself, there's something special about that book. Amen? It communicates to you spiritually and through the words. But Satan doesn't want you to trust it. Well, I would like to say that Satan is a young earth, Bible-believing creationist who believes Jesus died and rose for your sins. It's intellectual. But he has no relationship. People need a relationship, okay? So, is it an important issue? How many people would say, no, it's not an important issue, and I respect you, it's not an important issue. How many think it is an important issue? Okay. If you don't think it's an important issue, suppose I started lying about you, like this person over there, they're doing drugs, they're smoking crack, they're doing... Truth is always important. One of those is true. Consider an old earth or a young earth, and let's try to find out what is true. I think it is important. Okay? Who wants to read this verse nice and loud? Anybody? Go ahead. Good. And what's the verse?
John 17:17.
This is saying the Bible's word is truth. Do you really believe it is true? You can read the next one.
Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Psalm 119:105.
This is my opinion. This is just mine. If I thought the days in Genesis meant millions and billions of years and evening and morning meant ending and beginning, I'd be like, oof, why is that embarrassing nonsense right on page one? Can you relate to that? But I am not ashamed of the gospel. I believe it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? So I'm going to always try to be open-minded and fair on this. What type of people believe the days of Genesis are long?
Experts.
Both. There are the people who hate God who teach that, and many, many, many people who love God teach it. One of my best friends at work, his name was Cass Bensberg, devoted to Christ and evangelism and building up the church. He believed in a long, long days. There's a guy named Steve Hunter at my church, wonderful elder who believed in long, long days and totally loved the Lord. And my wife once said to him simply, Steve, the Bible says the days had evening and morning six times. Then they talked about something else. He came back a week later. He said, Jennifer, I believe that they're literal days now. And she said, why? I read Genesis for what it says. And I praise the Lord. So these people do not hate the gospel. They just hear all these intelligent people saying it's got to be billions of years, and they compromise. But hopefully you guys won't compromise. Okay. So... why do people teach it? Well, a lot of Christian leaders believe it. Anybody heard of Norman Geisler?
Yep.
Sadly, this is one of his quotes. If the creation of mankind is placed somewhere around 4,000 BC, which is on your lap, if you got one of those, everybody get one of those handouts, the white sheets? You don't need it for the lesson. If the creation of mankind is placed around 4,000 BC, it flies in the face of what, everybody? All, oh, my heart is breaking for a minimum date of humanity. Charles Hodge, he was big time in the late 1700s, I think it was. It would be most natural to understand the word day in its ordinary sense. Translate, if you trust the Bible, right? But if that sense brings the Mosaic account into conflict with what?
Facts.
And another sense avoids such conflict. Ooh, we don't want any conflict, do we? We want love. Jesus came to create division, right? Right? You're with me or against me? Then it is obligatory on us to adopt that wimp, right? No, the Bible, you can't be right. This guy who hates you must be right. Ugh, weakness is everywhere. Meredith Klein, I don't know too much about him, but I guess he was, anybody heard of him? Okay. Young Earth creationism is a deplorable disservice to the cause of biblical truth. Whew. Okay, my blood pressure is up. Dear Lord, I forgive Meredith. You don't have to believe the Bible, but don't twist it, right? You can reject it. Peer pressure. You're saying, oh, come on, Jimmy, lick the metal pole, you'll have fun. Oh, I believe the earth is billions of years old. That's what all smart people believe. Well, let's see, I'm smart, so I guess I should believe it. Trust the Bible. Don't trust man. Okay. Is it a salvation issue? I'd like an opinion on that. Okay. This is me. Like I like to tell people when I witness, I told that atheist kid, I'm only Bill. I'm far, far short of God. I don't decide salvation issues, okay? But here is a verse, and you decide if it's a salvation issue. Warning to false teachers. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone hung around his neck and he had been cast into the sea. Now, that's a pretty scary verse. Teachers have a huge responsibility. If you're teaching something that causes them to stumble, there is punishment, as I interpret Mark 9:42. Okay? So you decide for yourself. I think it's extremely important. You guys decide if it's a salvation issue or not. Let's talk about the age of the earth. Don't we love our earth? But we don't worship it, right? So how old is the earth? Clint Eastwood. How many people love Clint Eastwood? Me too. I never get tired of Clint Eastwood highlights on YouTube. When it comes to estimating the age of the earth, someone fill in the blank. I know at least one person can. What? A man's got to know his? You got to know your limitations. Isn't this true in everything? You got to know your limitations. There's only one thing I'm certain about the age of the earth. It's at least 57 years old. It's the only thing. Some of you might know it's older. Anything beyond that has to have some assumptions in it, okay? It could be 6,000, it could be 4.6 billion years. I don't know. I wasn't there. So we have to look at things in the present to interpret the past. I'm going to give 8 science reasons and other reasons I think the Earth is only about 6,000 years old, okay? Number one, history. His story. You don't have to be ashamed of history. Many years ago, my wife was asleep and I was going through the mail quietly. And I had this and I was all set to throw it out and I saved it. Why did I save it? Anybody? I go, oh, I'm going to put this in my hanging files. A journey through what? Wait, Time Magazine, a non-Christian publication, is saying man has been around how many years? A year later, click, I got the same magazine, right? Wait a minute, we just got 10,000 years older in only 1 year. This is 1 year, say 1993, this is 1994. They added 10 years. They didn't change one thing except that. My guess, you got to get that 5,000 years out because that's what those Bible nuts are saying, how long people have been around. Okay, we'll add 10,000 years, right? How many people have heard of prehistoric man? You know another word for that? Non-historic man. Prehistoric means before history. If it's before history, there's no history. They're assuming there was a man, but history supports people have been around 5,000 years, like this one said. And then they add 10,000. As Christians, we could live at 15,000, but we're not going to buy hundreds and hundreds of thousands. But I believe 5,000, just like it says. Oh, you're biased because you're one of those Bible nuts. Okay. Did some fun research. This is one of my favorite slides. The earliest recorded history, I'm going to need you to read this, young lady, when I tell you to. The earliest recorded history of any civilization dates back what?
5,000 years.
Okay, I can't pronounce that. Chagoskian, it means Iranian. Civilization dates back to the 4th millennium BC. Indian civilization, these are all different secular references. Indian civilization dates back 3,200 BC. Minoan civilization dates to back 5,000 BC. I think they're off 1,000 years, but close enough. Ecuador civilization dates back. You guys getting bored or you're liking this? Nubian civilization dates back 5,000 BC. Chinese dates back. And they have big billboards in Orange County. 5,000 years of the human adventure or human history of China. And they got the date right on. Chinese civilization dates back 5,000, Omen 5,000. Wait, You said the Earth is about 6,000 years. Why are they all saying 5,000 years? Noah. Noah got off the ark, people started to civilize, and who was the king at Babel? Nimrod. Was he one of the smartest humans who ever walked the earth? He was. Smart, but not wise. There's a big difference. There's knowledge and there's wisdom. Nimrod was a genius. So if you get called a Nimrod, say, thank you. That's a very compliment. But his sin was people were not spreading out. God caused them to spread out. And all over the world, what did they start building? Pyramids and towers. Mexico has the biggest pyramid in the world. But all over, these people started building pyramids and towers. Now, to me, that tells you they thought they were important and they had the same lineage. And they were smart or knuckle-dragging idiots? They were smarter than us. To survive, they had to be very, very smart. They built these pyramids. But all over the world, they started building pyramids 5,000 years ago, right after the flood. Okay, history is on our side, okay? Mutation rates in lieu of in things. How many people heard of mutations? What is the hero for the theory of evolution to turn bacteria into a well? Such letter M. Mutations did it. How many people here want to stand in front of an x-ray machine and say, make me better? How many of you want to ingest chemicals to mutate your DNA? No, you guys are smart. You're scared to death of mutations. It ruins good DNA. It doesn't improve your DNA. Well, mutations are a fact of life. You have more mutations than your parents. Your parents had more mutations than their parents. It's a scientific fact. Each generation has more mutations. When I was young, I didn't know about autism and all this, right? Now it seems every family has autism somewhere in it. It's a new mutation that becomes prevalent. So mutations increase over time. You go back in time and what do you got? No mutations in Adam and Eve, right? The DNA is going downhill. Time is not the friend of nature. So Dr. John Sanford is a big time professor at Cornell. He invented the gene gun. He teaches mutations rates from the sun. He's a plant expert. Nobody knows more about DNA than Dr. John Sanford. Teaches that plants could not have survived on the earth for hundreds of millions of years. He says, based on mutation rates, at the most, plants have only been around 100,000 years. But he doesn't believe that. He's a young earth, Bible-believing creationist. The top plant geneticist in the world believes in 6 days creation. Quick little side note. He did a lesson. It was very good. He said, any questions? And I said, I have a question, sir. Yes. Could you share your testimony? So he's teaching at Cornell, world's best DNA plant expert. He was having marital problems. He didn't love God. He didn't hate God. He was just going through life like 95% of the people. His wife said, hey, that church down the street gives free counseling. They went. The counseling helped them. They started going every Sunday because they liked the people. He didn't hate the Bible. He didn't love the Bible. He didn't really have any opinion on it. So he's going there for a while. The pastor of the church says, hey, Dr. Sanford, the third grader's Bible study teacher is going to be gone for 2 weeks. Could you teach the third grade Bible study? He felt indebted, so he said, absolutely. But he had never read what? He starts reading the Bible, and he becomes saved by the word. And he is still on fire. John Sanford, you can Google him. He writes books about creation, and he is the best DNA guy in the world. If people start reading the word, any amens to that? Amen. They'll say, this is not from man. This is God's word. So that's his story. Good man of God. So I'm going to give you 8 examples. This is my favorite one. If I meet someone and they think the earth is billions of years old, this is my first example. Why not? What? Erosion. I had a project. I worked for the Navy, and part of it included a parking lot. And I like to set up people. So he goes, so how was your weekend? I said, oh, great. I gave a lesson on creation. This other engineer goes, really? What was it about? I said, well, I believe that God created man, and we didn't evolve from ape men. What's often their first question? Well, remember what the topic is. Oh, well, how old do you think the Earth is? You guys ever been asked that? He didn't ask about biology or genetics or physics. How old do you think the Earth is? So on his parking lot, I started doing this. Guess what his parking lot was doing? I said, Roger, I think the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Asphalt cannot last more than 20 years because of erosion, wind, water, sun. Temperature change causes erosion and causes rocks to erode and decay. Roger, there is no possible way a rock could hold a dinosaur fossil for 200 million years. You ever seen those late night commercials where they advertise stuff? I guarantee you this rock can hold this fossil for 200 million years. No, erosion is going to erode that rock, erode that fossil. Your beautiful mountains out here, are they eroding? Absolutely. 4.5 billion is a long time. No rock is going to sustain that abuse. The conversation ended. A week later, he says, you know, that was a good point you made. This is a dying, mutating, eroding planet of death. This has not been sitting here for 4.5 billion years. This is temporary, everybody. We have eternity with Christ, right, if we're forgiven. But there's thousands of examples of erosion. I used to look at Bing, but they got too political. But they always had cool pictures of erosion on it, the Cliffs of Dover. You think the Cliffs of Dover have been there millions of years? In Portuguese Bend at Palos Verdes, you guys ever heard of that? What's it doing? It's bending into the ocean constantly. That hasn't been there billions of years, okay? So we press on about erosion. Now, here is 600 feet of strata in a canyon. See that? This is a layer. Here's stratification. There's a layer. Huge canyon. Let's get some Chinese geologists who don't know anything about it. Ask them how old it is. Millions of years, right? Wrong. That's Mount St. Helens. Now, my PowerPoint, Ryan has all of my PowerPoint. You can use it as much as you want. This is one of my favorite sets of slides. This is history. On May 18th, 1980, this layer was deposited. It was called an airflow. That's Stephen Austin who spoke here. Yeah. About less than a month later, there was an avalanche, and look at that stratification. In college geology, they'll say, stratification takes millions and millions of years. It took a day. And if it took millions of years, it would erode. It wouldn't be like a stack of books. See how beautifully parallel they are? It would be all eroded, each layer, but no, that took a day. And then about 2 years later, there was a mud flow that deposited this and carved out the canyon. A huge canyon within 2 years with strata. What about the Grand Canyon? Did it take millions of years?
No.
No. Why is it bigger than this one?
More water.
More water. Exactly. More water. Quickie, you know why the Grand Canyon didn't form by a little river? This is really deep, and I promise not to get real intellectual with you guys. Rivers don't flow uphill. Deep, huh?
Yeah.
There are parts of the canyon that go uphill and downhill. Rivers don't keep carving up and downhill, but a gush of water can carve all that out. Let's suppose a little water and a lot of time made the Grand Canyon, okay? Let me ask you guys a question. I need an answer. Why is there only what? I think I heard it.
One
Grand Canyon. Let's say there's 50,000 rivers on the Earth. If a little water in a long time can make the Grand Canyon, why don't we have 50,000 Grand Canyons? We have the Grand Canyon because I believe, and others, everything north is very flat, like Kansas, parts of Wyoming. That was a huge lake. You breach a dam and all that water tore through it. That's why we have a unique Grand Canyon. But the Mississippi, the Nile, they should all be Amazon canyons if they've been there millions of years. I don't believe they have been, but they are eroding. Those poor people in Mississippi are always fighting that, okay? Less than 2 years. Any comments or questions? This is a young, rapidly decaying planet. It can't take the abuse. Granite is just about one of the hardest rocks out there. okay? On the average, I'll say this slowly, granite erodes 1 foot every 6,000 years, we'll say. Now, if you got a lot of granite on a mountain, where the water flows will erode faster. Where it doesn't flow, it'll erode slower. So on the average, about 1 foot for every 6,000 years of granite, one of the hardest rocks, okay? Dinosaurs, are they found in granite? They're found in sedimentary rock. Is sedimentary rock harder or softer than granite?
Softer.
So I repeat, dinosaurs are found in what type of rock? But let's just pretend they're found in granite, which they're not. For them to be 100 million years old, they would have had to been buried underneath 3 miles of rock. You follow me? For us to find them near the surface today. 3 miles, they'd be crushed into powder, of course. But people are finding dinosaur fossils near the surface all over the place. They haven't been buried 100 million years. They would have what by now? Eroded. Anybody been to Bryce Canyon? Could you tell everyone in here you got to go to Bryce Canyon? It is way better than the Grand Canyon because you can walk through it. Amen? You got to go to Bryce Canyon. It's not that far. Zion, not that far. So I'm with my kids in Bryce Canyon, and they had sandstone, which is sedimentary rock. And I'm rubbing the sandstone like you would pet the head of a kitten, a little kitten. Guess what the sandstone was doing? I said, hey, kids, the tour guide told us this rock's 50 million years old. What do you guys think? Open-minded. It's not going to be there in 200 years. It's falling apart. Sandstone doesn't endure. Bryce Canyon is falling apart. Does that make sense? It's not 50 million years old. The Rocky Mountains would be flat in 14 million years if it was that old, but they teach it's 60 million years old. They ignore the erosion. Okay, faint sun paradox. This is in your handout. Actually, all of these are in your handout. You don't have to look at it. The comic book portion. How many people have heard of the faint sun paradox? Okay, good. Quick question. Is the sun static? That means not changing, or dynamic? That means constantly changing. It is incredibly dynamic. The sun turns mass into energy. Massive amounts of mass are being converted into energy every second. So is the sun the same today as it was yesterday? No. Less mass. What about 1,000 years ago? Million years ago. Even the skeptics admit this is a problem for them. As the mass of the sun is lost, the core compresses. As the core compresses, the sun actually gets hotter every day. Okay? It's not the cause of global warming, but the sun gets brighter and hotter. The skeptics say, you know what? The Earth would have been too cold 4 billion years ago to sustain life. The sun wasn't bright enough. There would have been one big ice cube. Okay, you follow me? They admit the sun wasn't bright enough billions of years ago to sustain life. It'd be one big ice cube. So they say, well, you know what? There must have been some kind of greenhouse effect or something, because we know the Earth is billions of years old and the sun is billions of years old. The creationists would say, no, once again, like Mr. Rogers, no. It hasn't been there that long. But that's a nightmare for the old Earth people. The sun is the what? Not design, but the D word? Dynamic. It is not a constant. Ecosystems. Everybody loves the environment. You know, you don't like the environment here, Christian. We love God's creation. Amen? Yeah. Let's look at an ecosystem. According to biblical teaching, plants were created on what day? What about the sun? What about the bee? Day five. If those days are spread up by billions of years, well, God could have intervened and kept it going. Absolutely. But I think ecosystems teach that God created everything in a short amount of time. Does that make sense? Yes. Ecosystems, symbiotic relationships where everything needs everything else, you got to have them all at once. Okay? So, we go back to our friend Norman Geisler, who has a lot of great teaching. If the creation of mankind is placed somewhere around 4,000 BC, it flies in the face of what?
All
for a minimum date for humanity. Well, what about mutations? What about the Fain-Sun paradox? What about erosion? Correct? But he has been brainwashed to think all evidence falsifies a young Earth, which is very, very sad. Okay, biblical genealogies. You guys have them on your lap. Now, I didn't put it together, but people have called me and said, Bill, this is great. What PhD or whatever did this? I said, a friend of mine who has a Bible and a calculator who hangs signs and makes signs for a living did it. And to me, it's the best one that I've seen. Get out your Bible, get out your Bible, get out a calculator, and look at all the verses. And you can add up to about 4,000 BC, okay? Now, a lot of people say, oh, there's no incompatibility between the Bible and the old Earth. I would like to give you Bible reasons why the Earth is not old. Who wants to guess the best reason? Suppose someone says the Bible doesn't say anything about the age of the Earth in the days of Genesis. Anyone? Want to volunteer? Yes. Good. And those dinosaur bones would have eroded by now if they were that old. And they have soft tissue in them, proteins, blood vessels, etc. Very good. They're finding dinosaur skin, not imprints, dinosaur skin. Very good. You get 10 creation points. Okay? Anybody else want to try to get some creation points? Yes?
Well, my favorite
reason
is that we get a day's rest.
And we were just talking about that. I was just saying, shame on me, when I was a brand new Christian, I really worked to keep the Sabbath. And you know what was great about it? I'm working hard on Saturday, but what's in the back of my mind? I got tomorrow off. So there's a lot of wisdom in doing that. Work super, super hard on Saturday and relax on Sunday. But you're right. The fourth commandment. Suppose people say the Bible doesn't say anything, or I know Hugh Ross. How many people know who Hugh Ross is? He's a person who promotes an old earth and that the Bible teaches an old earth. I've called his people and I said, Dr. Ross, how do you deal with his people? I've never talked to the king, but I talked to some of his minions. 6 days. Six what? You shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. This is the fourth commandment, not the fourth suggestion. It's the fourth commandment. The seventh is the seventh of the Lord your God, Sabbath of the Lord your God. Four, in what? 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. You give that to 500 million smart Chinese people and say, what is that teaching? I'm not saying you believe it. Well, they're saying we should work 6 days because God created in 6 days. But a lot of people, like Hugh Ross people say, well, the first part of that verse means era or epics, okay? I was on an airplane once next to a Catholic priest. I'm not picking on the Catholic faith, but we were talking, and I was talking about Genesis, and he called me a dirty word. He said, you sound like a literalist. I said, what's that? I always like to play dumb. What's that? You believe the Bible will be literal. Well, don't you? He says, no, not when it comes to this. And he said, young man, your problem is you don't understand the Hebrew. And I felt bad. He probably knew the Hebrew better than me. I prayed, God, please give me an answer. Please, God. I think he gave me a great answer. I said, sir, I don't doubt you know Hebrew better than me. But do you know new Hebrew better than you? It starts with letter H. Hebrews. Said, sir, for thousands of years, the smartest Hebrew little boys would do what their whole life? Study the Hebrew. They took their elite to study the Hebrew for thousands of years. Thousands of Hebrews believe that Genesis was literal. And he says, I prefer not to talk about it anymore. Okay. Well, on his lap was a Catholic magazine, and I looked, and one of them said creation versus evolution. So I said, sir, do you mind if I read your magazine? He said, no, not at all. I read it. And it was a big shot in the Catholic Church saying, we've got to get back to a literal Genesis. I go, hey, you got to read this article. And I mean this, if I had one prayer, just one, it would be that the Catholic Church would get the millions of people excited about the Bible and Jesus. My goal would not be to get them out of the Catholic Church. Stay Catholic. Get excited about Jesus and his grace. Amen?
Amen?
Millions of people around the world want to learn about God, and they're not learning anything. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Can you guys relate? A lot of them are not learning what the Bible's teaching. Breaks my heart. Millions of people eager for God, not learning it. Okay, so Bible reason number one, the fourth commandment. Bible number two, reason number two, each day had a what? This is the one that brought Steve Hunter to faith, a devout Christian man. He couldn't get around it. So let me see. Dr. Hugh Ross, he has a ministry called Reasons to Believe. He completely believes that Jesus saves. He says he believes the Bible is true, but he twists Genesis. He says the days are long, the flood was not local, there was death before the fall of Adam and Eve. Other than that, he believes the Bible. This is what I think he sincerely believes. He goes, I want to convert Mike here to Christ. He's thinking, but Mike's not going to believe in a young earth and literal creation. I'll reinterpret it. Hugh Ross would say to you, you don't know the Hebrew as good as me. Maybe not, but he knows the Hebrew better. Once again, his goal is good, to get people saved, but he thinks Genesis 1 is a stumbling block. So I read his stuff. He talks about evening and morning. He says morning means beginning and evening means ending. I need someone to literally translate this using Dr. Ross's translation of ending and beginning. Anybody? Who wants to read it nice and loud for me?
Go ahead.
But now translate using Hugh Ross's.
The Bible stage each day had a beginning.
No.
An ending and a beginning. Got it.
Does that mean something? Ending and beginning? That confuses me. Very important. Why does the Bible say evening and morning and not morning and evening? Why?
The Hebrew day starts in the evening.
It is a Hebrew day. Hugh Ross, you get an F on your Hebrew there, young man. It's evening and morning. Ending and beginning is meaningless. You couldn't even get your brain to process it. But that is a big pie in the face. Once again, his intentions are great. He wants to lead people to Christ, but we don't have to twist the Bible to do it, do we? Okay? All right. Ordinal number. Anybody heard of those? Cardinal number. Ordinal number. First, second, third. Cardinal. 1, 2, 3. Now, sometimes people say the day in Genesis means an era. Let me tell you about my great-grandpa. I need a volunteer for fun. Come on, we're all friends here. Okay. I'm going to tell you a story about my great-grandpa. I'm going to use the word day 3 times in my sentence. You tell me which day is a literal 24-hour day, okay? I'm going to say day 3 times. You say 1, 2, or 3, which day, okay? In the day of my great-grandpa, it took 12 days to drive across the country because in those days, the cars didn't have headlights. In the day of my grandpa, it took 12 days to drive across the country because back in those days, they didn't have headlights. Which one is a literal 24-hour day? The first? The second? The second one. How did you know that? How did you know that?
How do I know it?
Yeah.
Because in the first one is talking about a different time than now, and the third one is talking about a different time than now. So the second one is talking about separate days.
12 days to drive across the country. It has a cardinal number, 12. The context tells you literal days. Do the days of Genesis say second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day?
Yes.
Every time in the Bible you have a cardinal or ordinal number in front of it, it's a literal day. The best translation of the first day is not first day, but day one, which is a cardinal number. But the Genesis account clearly teaches that. Okay? The Hebrew word is yom for day, like Yom Kippur. 359 times in the Bible, the word yom has a number in front of it. The only time it's disputed to not be a literal day is where? Genesis 1. Isn't that a tragedy? If you were Satan and wanted to blow up a building, you blow up the ground floor, right? Everything else takes care of it. You want to trash the Bible? Just trash the first page. Satan doesn't care about Lamentations or the book of Joel. You ruin Genesis and everything else falls apart, okay? It's always a literal day, except in Genesis chapter 1. No, it's not. There's Grandpa's car story. I was at USC once talking to a nice young man and brought up evolution. He brings up the age of the earth. He was a Jesuit. He was a very smart guy. And I asked him a question that all he did was smile and say, that's a good question. I know where you're going. Do you think God created paradise? How many people think yes? But you don't think God created a life of death and struggle and blood and extinction and savage tearing apart? No. God created paradise. The lion was laying down with the lamb until when? Until sin entered the world and everything became cursed. That's basic 101 Bible teaching. Hugh Ross believes what? A younger or an old earth Christian believes in death, struggle, and mayhem before man even showed up on the scene. These poor dinosaurs were destroying each other, going extinct before man even appeared. Tragic. It twists the whole teaching of creation, fall, and redemption. Any comments on that? It's twisting the message, okay?
Yeah, I'll say something.
Sure.
There's this really smart guy at our church, and I'm surprised he's the same thing where he kind of believes this older thing. And I told him one time when we were talking about it, I said, because we're in Genesis, and it's like, unless the Bible's translated inaccurately, it doesn't matter what it is, the Bible's teaching you that that's what it is. It's still what the Bible, that's what God wants us to believe, because it clearly says in there, unless it's translated wrong, and I don't know that. All I can do is read the version in English.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that's kind of, it's like, whether it is older or new, I mean, I live in younger, but even if it's older, the Bible still wants us to believe. It's clear that it wants us to believe in it. You know what I'm saying?
How could God have been more clear than if he said evening and morning the first day, evening and morning the second day? He told us six times. The fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, work 6 days because I created everything in 6 days. All the same sentence. I don't know how it could be clearer communicated.
Unless we're reading it translated incorrectly. That's the only way that you can believe something else is if it's translated
right.
Incorrectly, what we're reading
right.
Wrong.
I'm believing this is true. I'm believing this is accurate. Right, because it's right. You got to know your limitations. But to me, it's clearly, I was an atheist, not a God here. I was an atheist. I read Genesis 1 after creation was resolved. I go, wow, that's cool. God created it in 6 literal days. Next page. No problem with it. Here's a joke. This young earth person goes up to an old earth person and says, do you think God could have created the earth in 6 seconds? The old earth person says, yes. What about 6 minutes? Yes. What about 6 billion years? Yes. What about 6 days? Absolutely not. No, nope, it couldn't have created it in 6 days. I invented that. Something about it. But to me, it's peer pressure. Romans 1, 1 Corinthians, Isaiah continually talks about a curse, which is a big part of the Bible. Man messed up paradise. Okay, there wasn't death and struggle before then. Okay, was Adam a real person?
Yes.
Oh, come on, that's just allegory. Adam was assigned a time of death. Allegorical people do not die at the age of 930, okay? So Adam was died at the age of 930 years. I believe he lived to the seventh day. We have a Seventh-day Adventist. No, I'm just kidding. But I like Seventh-day Adventist. You know what? To get off the topic, I love Jehovah's Witnesses. I love Mormons. This is off the topic. You know why they're Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses? Because of the fellowship. You could talk about their doctrine, and they might be thinking, it's not really the doctrine, it's the love I feel. This is a very loving church, but a lot of Christian churches are so sterile and stuff, they go to Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're embraced. Does that make sense? It makes me feel guilty, too. But anyways, love these people. Don't treat them as your enemy. Yes?
I have a riddle.
Go ahead.
There was a group of archaeologists that found Adam and Eve. So how did they know for sure they had found Adam and Eve?
Missing a rib? I give up.
Belly button.
Ah.
Adam was created.
I didn't know they fossilized.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. When I moved into my house in 1988, I had a Mormon neighbor, nice kids. The little kid, his first question, do you think Adam and Eve had a belly button? And I don't know, I thought about it. I would say now, absolutely not. They didn't need it. But a little kid stumped me with that once, and that was a good question, but good one. All right. So, the seventh day, in my opinion, had to be shorter than 930 years because Adam lived through it. Jesus' teachings. You don't want to get Jesus mad. At the beginning of what?
Creation.
God made them male and female. If you are old Earth, God created the universe 13 billion years ago, the Earth 4 billion years ago, and man right about here. Is that the beginning of creation?
No.
No, I believe God created man at the beginning of creation. Matthew 19:4 teaches the same thing, okay? And one thing, how many people love the story of Adam and Eve? Never, 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 never call it a story. Call it a teaching. How many people love the story of Noah? How many love the teaching of Noah? You see the difference? When you teach, people say it's not a story. It's a teaching. What about the story of Jonah? You guys love the story of Jonah? The teaching. And I was corrected on that once. And someone said, Bill, don't call it a story. They're teachings from God. And when you share Christ with people, say, this book is full of teachings from God who created you, not stories. Okay? So, I love this. Someone told me this one. One of man's purpose was to rule the earth, to take dominion over the creation. Did God create all this stuff and go bowling for billions of years before he made man to take dominion? No, he didn't go bowling. He created man to take dominion over the recent creation. Does that make sense? He didn't wait and wait and wait to make man, okay? And the Hebrews always believed them to be literal days. And they knew the Hebrew, they knew the Bible, okay? And I used to work with that guy. I really did. And he admits it looks like him. He's a GS-13. I'm only a GS-12. But anyway, now he's my buddy. But wait a minute. What about the verse that says, with the Lord a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day? How many people have heard that? Many, many times. My dad taught me this. Great life advice. Young people. How many young people want to freak out their parents? Any of you? Okay, do this. I love to tell teenagers this. All the teenagers want to freak out their parents. Do this. Go up to your mom, give her a hug, and say, Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for all the sacrifices you've done for me. And then walk away. Why is Mom going to be freaked out? He wants something, right? No. Do that. That will mean more to your mom than $1,000. Wow, maybe not $10,000, but $1,000, okay? My dad taught me this. He said, son, people love compliments. Some people never give them, right? Some people do. So someone comes up to you, suppose a skeptic or whatever, what about the verse that with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day? That's a great question. If a skeptic says, well, who made God? That's a great question. Oh, really? That is a great, they're not expecting a compliment. But we'll get to who made God. Who made you? Right? They want to get off the topic. And the right question on that, not who made God, the question should be, was God made? Get it? Who made God is the presupposition that he was made. I said, look, I'm Bill. All I know is what the Bible teaches. Isaiah says there is no other God. Revelation says God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is eternal. Can I understand an eternal God? No. But something superior to us made you, and I believe that's the God of the Bible. But compliment the tough questions. It'll be a friendlier talk. So anyways, how would you guys answer this verse? To an old earth person, yes. Or did you raise your hand? Okay, anybody? Some of you had this thrown at you, right? First, what is the context of this verse? Does anybody know? Is it creation? What is it? It's talking about God's patience for people to repent before the earth ends. How many people can relate to this? Okay, I'm a Christian now, and the earth, God. Right? Now that I'm saved, we can... No. Well, God is patient. Thank you very much. It's talking about Christ's return. It's not talking about creation. It is self-canceling. A day is 1,000 years, is 1,000 years to a day. It's talking that time means nothing to God. And, oops, with the Lord. Everybody, what does that say?
With the Lord.
Not with you. To you, time is everything. Time's important. God is patient for people to repent. Radiometric dating. Okay, this is one of my favorite. Dr. Steve Austin, who came here, took 5 samples of lava rock at Mount St. Helens, chopped it up, sent them to 5 different laboratories, and said, how old is the rock? Obviously, and it was 10 years old, maybe 20. Obviously, they all said, oh, it's 20 years old, because it was only 20 years old. It was fresh lava, the lava dome, right? No. They said one lab said 360,000 years, another lab said 2.8 billion years, and the other 3 were in between. And there's the reference if you want. And Ryan has all of my slides if you want to get more of that. So I work for the government. I work at a Navy base. I'm still a nice guy. Don't hate me. Boy, do we waste your money. Oh, my goodness. It kills me. We really, really, it's not my fault. It kills me. But anyway, someone says, hey, Bill, how much, suppose we want to refurbish this church. How much to refurbish this church? Well, how much do you want to spend? Right? Do you want a Ford Pinto or do you want a Lexus, right? Hey, Bill, how old is this rock? How old do you want it to be? I can pick any one of these dates and publish it, and people say, okay, more evidence for an old earth. But radiometric dating is based on assumptions. Suppose I'm on Borrego Springs Road with you guys, and a car drives by at 50 miles per hour. And I say, that car was in Seattle last week. What would you say? I'm saying it's going 50 miles per hour in this direction. If you extrapolate, that's what it was, right? No, all I know is it's going 50 miles per hour right now. You can't go back into the past. If you measure a chemical in a rock, you only know one thing. What? The chemical in the rock right now. You don't know its original state. You don't know what it was 10 minutes ago. You don't know in between. You don't know if it's been contaminated, et cetera. You don't know the starting point. If you don't know the starting point, you can't date it. So that's where these guys are all. They know what it is now. Some samples were different composition, but they're all off. To me, you pick the date that you want, and it's not a scientific process. Mount Everest, gotta be billions of years old, right? It's so big. I had a friend, and skeptics can be your best friend. Any amens to that? Skeptics can keep you sharp. I tell skeptics, I enjoy talking to you because you put me to the test. And compliment people. I have a friend at work, he retired. He said, Bill, do you really believe Mount Everest was underwater at one time? What would you say?
Yes.
Why?
Because it wasn't nearly as high.
Seashells, right. Yeah. We'll get to that. Seashells. Fossils of ocean animals and a certain type of rock called limestone. What type of rock is limestone? Sedimentary rock. Sedimentary rock is rock deposited by
water.
only about 2 years ago, I did a little Bible study on Mount Everest. Do you know what limestone is mostly made up of? Coral. Praise the Lord. On top of Mount Everest, you got a bunch of coral, a bunch of seashells, a bunch of ocean fossils. Everyone who knows about Mount Everest agrees it was underwater at one time. So my friend said, well, it wasn't as high as it used to be. I said, praise the Lord. Psalm 104, written a long, long time ago, says, first the earth was covered as a garment. First there was a flood. After the flood, valleys sank, mountains rose. Okay? So Mount Everest rose after the flood. Your beautiful mountains here rose after the flood. You know how you can see that for your very eyes? Anyone? Bent strata. Yesterday I took pictures of my son in front of tons of strata at a 45 degree. Some of it's almost 90 degrees. How do you get bent strata? First you get a flood. Right after the flood, what happened? It rose. Every time you guys see bent strata, say praise God. Psalm 104 is true. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Strata that's at an angle. Your mountains are awesome, fantastic for that. So some people say, well, it's been raising a real slow time. That the peak of that mountain has been up there 30 million years. I say impossible because of the E word. Erosion. That's the nastiest place in the world for wind, temperature change. Sunlight hits it, and then it gets cold. Temperature change is terrible for erosion. Those little seashells aren't going to cling on there for 30 million years. They're flying off there faster than my hair loss, okay? Okay. And now I'd like to have the concluding act to the Borrego Springs Performing Arts, and a big round of applause. Son?
Good. I got good news. I just became a Christian.
Oh, praise the Lord. I've been praying for that. I am so excited. Congratulations.
Thank you. Do you know how I can learn more about God?
Absolutely. Why don't you read the Bible? Here's one right here.
Oh, thank you. Where should I start?
Start on page 1. Read Genesis chapter 1, young man.
Okay.
Tell you what, why don't you read it, come back tomorrow, and tell me what you learned.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The next day.
Hi, Grandpa.
Still wearing that shirt, aren't you?
I have a question about it says days. Does that mean 24-hour days?
When you read it, what is it teaching you?
Well, morning and evening, just like our days today.
So what is that teaching you?
That these are 24-hour days.
Son, the Bible can be understood by you. You don't have to be a king. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be an expert. This word can teach you. That's what it's teaching you as you read it. That's what it's saying. Do you want to read Genesis 2 tomorrow?
Yeah.
Great. Come by and tell me what you learned.
All right. Thank you.
Big round of applause. This is the most hated and the most loved book in the world. Amen. The haters want you to hate it. If they didn't believe it was the Word of God, they what? They wouldn't care. Go ahead, read it. Goofy book. This is the Word of Life from God, teachings for you. I hope you read it every day and embrace it. Let's close in prayer, and I'll turn it over to Ryan. Oh, we can do question and answer if you want to. And if anybody has to leave, trust me, I'm okay with that. I won't be offended. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for this fellowship. I pray you continue to teach them and equip them. I pray for your will for the Petersons in Texas. They get a lot of hugs. I barely know them, and I'm going to miss them. Anyways, equip Ryan and his wife. Give them wisdom, strength, and truth, and all these people here. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.